Our scripture reading for this morning is going to come from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be reading from chapter 4 of Mark's Gospel, starting with verse 35 and reading through verse 41. It is found on page 916 of your Pew Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's an old inscription on an ancient public house in England that reads, "Fear knocked on the door, faith answered, but no one was there." All of us have to decide at one time or another how we are going to live our lives. If we're going to live our lives in fear, or if we're going to live our lives in faith and trust in God. We're all aware that the world that we live in can be a very scary place at times. There are chaotic and demonic winds blowing in our world. Chaotic and demonic winds that threaten to sink all of us. There are wars and rumors of wars. There are haughty and arrogant displays of power. There is sickness and pain. There's just plain craziness in the world sometimes. I was reading on the internet the other week about a man in Florida, I believe, who chewed off another man's face. And the man was obviously disturbed, but it just makes you fearful even to walk down the street. Don't know what you're going to encounter, and a lot of people are afraid. I have to admit that the older that I get, the more anxiety-ridden I become, not just because I fear growing older with all the attendant problems that come with old age, but I grow more anxiety-ridden because I've seen in my life that we human beings don't seem to learn from our mistakes. Despite all of our vaunted intelligence and all of our technological sophistication, we seem to be clueless. Even we here in our own country, the most powerful country in the world, we too seem to be clueless. We seem intent on destroying the world and destroying ourselves and destroying one another. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, especially during periods of trial and tribulation, I find myself asking and praying the same question that the disciples in our text this morning was praying and asking. Lord, do you not care? Lord, do you not care what we are doing to one another? Do you not care what we're doing to ourselves? Do you not care what we're doing to the world? Do you not care what's happening to children, what we're doing to our children? Do you not care? Do you not care about the poor and the vulnerable in our society? Do you not care? Lord, we are sinking ourselves. We are destroying ourselves. Do you not care? Have any of you ever asked that question? Have any of you ever prayed that prayer in the midst of your own storm? The word of the Lord in our text this morning is a brisk command. Quiet, says Jesus, be still. It's a word that is spoken not just to the turbulent winds that are crashing around us, but it's also a word spoken to the raging storms of fear and anxiety churning deep inside of our hearts. Quiet. Be still, says the Lord. Why are you afraid? The answer is simple. We're afraid because we often lack faith in the Lord, the faith that knows that our lives and our world are ultimately in the hands of a loving God. Fear, of course, is an understandable and even necessary response to danger. Fear can often paralyze us. It often closes us down. It often causes us to draw into ourselves. It can bring out the worst in us. That's why one of our greatest presidents during a particular scary time in our nation's history said that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Psychologists tell us that as babies, when we come into the world, we have two basic fears: the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. And as we grow older, of course, those fears are greatly multiplied. We become afraid of all kinds of things. We're afraid of rejection. We are afraid of abandonment. We are afraid for our children. Sometimes we are afraid of our children. We are afraid of sickness and disease. We are afraid of growing older and growing more dependent on others. We are afraid of all kinds of things. To be afraid is to be human. Sometimes our fears are rational and proportionate to the dangers presented, but oftentimes our fears are totally irrational and way out of proportion to the actual danger that is presented. When I was 5 years old, my mother showed me how to walk home from school, the Head Start class where I was attending. We lived about 4 or 5 blocks away. And I remember that my greatest fear was that I was going to run into a dog. What's going to happen if I run into a dog? And so I concocted this plan that if a dog got after me, I'd run to the nearest house and knock on the door real hard until somebody came out. And so a few days after my plan, I had the opportunity to put it in motion. There was a dog across the street, a little chihuahua that came to the edge of the yard, and it started to barking, and I immediately put my plan in action. I ran to the nearest house, knocked on the door, and a little lady came to the door, a little senior lady, and it scared her. She wanted to know what I was doing at the door, and I pointed and said, "A dog is chasing me." And she smiled, and she took me by the hand and came out, took me across the street, and introduced me to the family who owned the dog, and introduced me to the dog, and reassured me that I had nothing to fear. The dog was more afraid of me. As we approached, he ran inside the house, but she introduced me to the family and let me know that I had nothing to fear. And that taught me that sometimes our fears are simply out of proportion and irrational. I was lucky, of course, at least someone came to the door when I knocked. Several years ago. Amen. Several years ago when I lived in Atlanta, I remember the sad story of a young lady by the name of Julie Love. Her car had stalled late one evening, and this was before everyone had cell phones, and so she got out of the car. It was about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and she went to a house and knocked on the door, but no one would answer. And so she went to knock on another door, and no one would answer. Everyone was afraid, so afraid of each other, that no one would answer, even when this young woman came to the door wanting to use the telephone because she was in distress. And it wasn't long after that a car came by and gave her a ride, but she was never heard from again. In fact, she was brutally murdered, but all because people were too afraid to come to the door. But we were afraid. We're a society that is afraid. We're afraid of one another, afraid to be human with one another, afraid to be friendly with one another. We're so, so afraid. We are reminded, of course, that all of our fears are rooted and grounded in our fear of death. We know that one day we're going to die, that our individual stories are going to come to an end. We know, too, that the stories of the people that we love are going to come to an end. We know how small and frail and insignificant our lives our lives appear to be before the forces and powers of nature, so that in the midst of the storms of life, we too become afraid. Jesus knows that the opposite of faith and trust in God is not doubt or disbelief, but the opposite of faith and trust in God is fear. That's why the number one command that is given in the Bible, the command that is given over and over again, is don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. That's what makes our story this morning so remarkable, because Jesus' disciples still do not know who he is. Even though he's been with them, even though he has demonstrated to them the power that he has, even though his very presence in their midst is indicative of how much God cares for them, they are still afraid. They're like all of us. They are afraid. And Jesus asked them, "Why are you afraid?" We too are afraid. We too, even though we are told that Jesus is in our midst, that Jesus never leaves us, we too are often afraid. Our story this morning is not just a miracle story, but it is a faith story. It is a story that is designed to show us who Jesus is. He is the one who can calm the storms. He is the one who has the whole world in his hand. He is the one who's been given all power and authority and dominion. He is the one who we are summoned to follow and to entrust our lives to. But of course, we don't want to do that. We don't want to follow Jesus. We don't want to follow God. We don't mind if God is our co-pilot. That's the bumper I see a lot of. God is my co-pilot. In other words, we don't mind if God rides shotgun while we take the wheel and take control of our lives. And if something happens, then we depend on God to perform a miracle for us and get us out of the trouble. But we want to be in control of our lives. We want God simply to be our co-pilot, to get us back on track when things go wrong. But this story is not a miracle story. This story is a faith story. It's a story that is summoning us to follow Jesus, to put our faith and trust in him. And to follow Jesus does not mean that we will be immune from the dangers that can elicit fear. If anything, we are reminded that to follow Jesus means that we're going to foment waves. We're going to stir up chaotic forces and demonic forces that are threatened by our witness of God's coming kingdom. Wherever Jesus went, Jesus stirred things up. Wherever Jesus went, he kicked up waves. Wherever Jesus went, the chaotic and demonic forces didn't like it. He stirred things up. They thought he was crazy. They even said that he had a devil within him. He's possessed by Beelzebub because he stirred things up. And wherever the early church went, according to the book of Acts, they kicked up waves. They too stirred things up. People who like things the way that they are didn't like to see the witness of the early church in their midst. And of course, whenever we are being the church, whenever we are faithfully following Jesus, we too will stir things up. We too will kick up waves. The world will not like us bearing witness to the truth of the gospel. We're going to create storms. But Jesus wants us to understand that even in the midst of those storms, that our lives are in the hands of a loving God. And not just our lives are in the hands of a loving God, but the whole world is in God's hands. And so we do not have to be afraid. I was listening not long ago to an old sermon of Martin Luther King Jr. during the heyday of the civil rights movement. And I'm always struck by how young he actually was. This is my 10th year anniversary as a pastor. 10 years goes by pretty quickly, but I'm relatively old compared to Martin Luther King Jr., who started out 26 years old. He began to lead the civil rights movement at 26 years old. And one night, about midnight, when he was in his home, his wife and young daughter were in the same room sleeping there. And about midnight, he got a telephone call. And it was from the Klan. And they said, we're tired of your mess. You better be out of town in 3 days, or we're going to blow your brains out, and we're going to bomb your house. And he said in the midst of that, for the first time, he became afraid. He was really afraid. He looked at his daughter, and he looked at his wife there, and he became afraid. And he said, now, it was at that time that I had to get serious about my faith. I had to decide if I was going to live by faith or if I was going to live in fear. And so he got down on his knees and he began to pray, Lord, I'm afraid, I'm weak, I'm scared. I believe what I'm doing is right, but I'm afraid. Then he said he heard a voice, an inner voice that said, Martin, continue to fight for righteousness. Continue to stand for justice. Continue to stand for truth. He heard a voice. He said it was the voice of Jesus that reminded him that he would be with him, that he would be present with him, even until the end of the age. That same promise is made to each and every one of us. We don't have to be afraid. Even though the storms may rage, we don't have to be afraid. Whatever you're going through, you don't have to be afraid, whatever it may be. Whether it's unemployment, whether it's sickness, whether it's disease, you don't have to be afraid in the midst of the storm because Jesus is present. God is present with us. Our lives are in the hands of God. Our world is in God's hands. This is God's world. You belong to God. Our fate is ultimately in God's hands. And so we don't have to be afraid. Jesus continues to cast out demons. Wind demons and storm demons, all kinds of demonic forces that alienate us from one another and alienate us from God. Demonic forces that make us afraid. Whenever we turn on the television, said it seems like the goal of people is to make us afraid. But you don't have to be afraid because God is in control of this world. This world belongs to God. This world belongs to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has conquered all of our fears. He has conquered sin. He has conquered the forces and powers of death. So we don't have anything to be afraid of. The disciples were set free, and we too have been set free. We're no longer held captive by fear. We are set free to love God, and we are set free to love one another. Part of what prevents us from loving one another is we're so fearful of one another. Fearful of people who are different. Can't get too close with him because I'm fearful. That's a person of another race. I'm fearful. That person lives on the other side of town. I'm fearful. We're so afraid of each other. We're so afraid. But we've been set free from our fears. We're free to love God and free to love one another. Don't be afraid. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for your loving presence in our midst. We give you thanks for your spirit of truth, your spirit that reminds us that we belong to you. Lord, we live in the midst of a world that is often dark and stormy, a world that causes us to be afraid. But we are reminded that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the forces and powers of death have already been defeated, and that we don't have to be afraid anymore. Help us to live our lives in a spirit of trust and faith in you. Help us to love one another and to love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Help us to go out into this world embracing one another, loving one another, being able to live authentically for you and for one another, as you have created us to be. Help to conquer our fears so that we can begin to be that beloved community that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.